far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we discuss one of Mamoru Oshii's grand masterpiece works, Angel's Egg. Because I think it was on here at one point, was basically like he made this because like it was his way to renounce Christianity.
Yeah, I think Andy mentioned this anime before on one of our old like Pat Labor movie review or something like that.
Yeah, I think I brought it up or he might have, and I don't see that. I don't see it very clearly of what he was trying to get at. So,
well, there's like God came back to destroy the world or something. Isn't that what happened? In this?
I don't know.
Because in that Noah's Ark scene, which is like one of the only scenes that has dialogue, the guy says, like, I created all this and I've come back to destroy it or something. So I assume that guy was supposed to be God.
What, the soldier?
I guess. I mean, I don't know why, but it doesn't really make any sense.
How
in
the light, oh, dude? I don't... I don't know.
I guess we should try to start from the beginning, though. Yeah. Like, introduce ourselves and all that. I just started recording a minute and a half ago.
Okay, I figured the minute I got on here and started talking is when you got all this, so that's good enough. All right, so welcome to the Anime Vestia podcast. You got me, Zionic, John, and Josh. And we reviewed one of the finest film anime of the 80s called Angel's Egg, which was like basically Mamoru Oshii's career for a few years.
This is his first anime, isn't it? Or did he do Dallas before this? Or
I think oh crap, yeah, there was Dallas. I forgot he worked on that.
I haven't seen Dallas yet.
This apparently what I've understood is like the first Angel's we're talking about Angel's Egg, obviously, but I've heard this was like the first attempt at an OVA by, I think, out there. Like, this came out the same year as Megazone 2-3. The Megazone 2-3 did like tons better than this regarding the ratings and everything. But apparently it says Dallas came out in 83 as an OVA, so that might have been officially the first one. And I've heard things about Dallas, and I'm not sure if it's good or worse than this, so I have...
I would have returned this video to the store, honestly.
You would have just, like, I don't know if you would have returned it as to say, like, drove by and chucked it out the window at the front door and sped off and hoped the tape breaks into a million pieces to save someone else the agony of renting this tape and expecting something out of it.
Did this even come out here in America?
No.
Oh.
I question if, like, Discotheques is ever going to license this. And then I'll even question further the people that would go out of their way to buy this on DVD, because I don't see the point. I mean, they're getting Dallas pretty soon, and I kind of do want to own that, but I don't know. We have to eventually review that one day.
Oh, I found a link on the Wikipedia article of some website that has a whole page about the symbolism in this movie.
Yeah, that's at the bottom. Yeah, the unofficial interpretation regarding film's symbolism.
Did either of you read that? I haven't.
No.
I don't know if I can. Oh, it's got some really good positive things. A few things about it. First of all is the artwork. Second of all is the animation, and third of all is the style, visual style of this. Because all of those three things are really, 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 really good. And like Yoshitaka Amano did the character designs for this, and you can clearly tell in like the girl in the soldier's face and whatever, since they're the only two people on this entire planet thing or whatever. And, I kind of look at it as a way if people that are out there animating and they want to do it right, like, if you want to animate someone drinking water out of a glass jug or pouring water into a glass jug, this is the anime to watch to know how to animate it properly, because there was a lot of that in this.
And you get to see everything, like, frame by frame, so I guess it would probably help them to learn how to do it, because it lingers on every shot forever. Like, there'll be a minute
everything
shot of the girl laying
on
the bed.
Every shot forever on this. Yeah. I guess try to describe what happens, because, like, I was taking notes, but, like, I would take notes 10 minutes after something happened, and I only wrote, like, one or two things down because nothing happened.
What did
nothing
you write
happened
down?
In this. Well, it starts out with a pair of hands scooping up water or something.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a shot of like these giant green eggs, and they're just kind of all these like weird tree pillars or something. And you see that kind of periodically throughout this. And then the next shot is like human statues on a giant black green floating ball thing that's like over the ocean or whatever. And it's got like little human statues on it, and I didn't understand that. And then there's the white-haired guy that was in this.
Well, they said in the Noah's Ark scene that they were all waiting for some bird, and they all turned into stone on the Ark. But I don't know what the reason is
that they all turned to stone. Was that supposed to be the Ark? Because I didn't get it.
I think. I'm not sure. Maybe that was Noah, that human statue.
I spaced out so much in this. I had an airsoft gun to my head 20 minutes in, and I was just constantly pulling the trigger. I just could not. I was just anything to get through this.
What point was it when there was the first line of dialogue at the very start? I think it must have been like half the movie. It was like 30 minutes or 40 minutes in.
15, 20 minutes in, I think, was the first line of dialogue or something. I know, I think I wrote that down somewhere.
Yeah. Well, there were a few lines.
She first speaks halfway through the movie.
Yeah. Her and the soldier guys speak like a few lines to each other, and then that's pretty much it for the whole movie. There's no dub of this, and I don't know if it even really needs one, since there's not much dialogue anyway.
There's no purpose. There is zero purpose to a dub for this.
Yeah.
Even us dub connoisseurs, I'm like, don't even waste the effort, because they can record the dub in like 5 minutes at a studio.
Yeah, they would only have to hire... They only need two actors, you know.
Yeah.
And they read like five lines and that's it.
Yeah. Like the easiest job on the planet. Okay, so like apparently it's like there's a purple and black checkered board like layout or something that the guy's on, and then that's when we see the floating black ball thing. And then we see this little girl wake up, which she's the main person. And pretty much what she does is she's carrying around this egg, and we don't know exactly what's in it per se. I'm not too sure, but she just kind of wanders around the desert. I think she was wandering around these giant statues at something out of like a Stonehenge or something, or Easter Island or something.
Yeah, there are a bunch of big just desolate stone pieces around everywhere, and I guess this is supposed to mean that civilization is like collapsed or something, because there's also the ominous red sky and everything. It's all post-apocalyptic looking, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, she wanders into this town, and there's scenes of her, like, she was out in the forest and she was drinking water out of a glass jug she found or something. I don't know. And then, like, it looked like something was attacking her. And then it just never goes back to that. And then she's, like, fine. And she's walking in this, like, late 1800s century town or something with, like, cobble brick roads and all this. And so she gets there, and there's all these like giant like tanks that wander through the town. And then we see the soldier come out of one of the tanks, the main character, the other guy. And of course he steps down, and then she just kind of runs off to this like alleyway. And then she's there for like a minute, and then she comes out, and then she wants to go find the guy or something. I don't know. It makes no sense.
And these soldiers, I guess they're in town to fight some shadow fish. I don't know what the shadow fish thing is about, but they're, I guess, the main villains of the movie or something. I'm not sure why they're there or anything like that, though.
Yeah, they don't explain why they're attacking the fish. Like, they're like basically fish shadows, and they're crawling on the ground, and they got like these dozens of soldiers with the spears and everything, and they're basically trying to stab and hunt the fish down, but like it doesn't do anything. And you figure they would realize this, but they know they just keep doing it. So I'm wondering if like the fish are hovering over in the sky and they're attacking the shadow or something. But again, that's just speculation. Because you don't see them kill like any of the shadow fish. They're just like floating. They're just kind of like going through the buildings and stuff. And it's just them destroying the town that way.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. This really, I think, well, she meets up with a soldier guy. And then she's hiding an egg under her dress, and of course we don't know what's in the egg or what she's really carrying. And then of course like I don't know how he does it, but he takes the egg and then he's just like, you know, you need to be more careful carrying this egg. I'm like, well, how did you get it? Because there was no scene or anything showing that he took the egg. And and then he's asking her, like, oh, what do you think is inside the egg? And then she's like, I don't know. And she's like, you need to leave me alone. And he winds up tagging along with her anyways.
Yeah. Where does she get the egg from originally? Is it from the river or something?
I think she – oh, you're talking about, like, that creek when she was drinking water? Like, the first time we see her drinking?
Yeah, I guess.
I think she had it with her at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either – my mind must have been so dull to just – not even notice that.
She probably does have it at the start of the movie. I think you're right. But yeah. I don't know why. That's a common thing about this movie, because nothing is really said in it. You don't really know what's happening or why.
Things just
appear on screen.
Yeah, there's nothing to explain what the story is. It's a visual animation with like just a story thrown in. It's basically like kind of like a demo reel to show how good what animation can do, and everything else is non-existent. I mean, I don't even know if I would call Mamoru Oshii directing anything in this, because like, what was there to direct? Like how she walked through another, like, you know, part of the town to show more artwork. I mean, I don't understand it.
I mean, if it's going to be all visual, it should at least be like something engaging rather than so many endless shots of the same thing for minutes at a time. And I don't know.
It's a continuous shot of constant, like nothing happening. Like there was that one scene, like it was half a minute of her, like inside of a church building. And it's just the side of her face and she's not doing anything. She's not blinking. She's not breathing. She's just there. And they got this like orchestra music playing in the background. You're like, well, what's the weight of this scene? And there's no purpose.
Oh, yeah, like, I don't know what we're supposed to be thinking when we watch this movie. Like, are we supposed to think this is a cool scene here because they drew the girl pretty well? I mean, that's about all you can really think if you're trying to think positive about this, because there's nothing really going on. And I don't know what's so symbolic about some long scene of her face or something.
Yeah, it doesn't add to anything. Like, I don't know. Exactly, I don't know. And the best part was, like, the fact that they had, like, a 3-minute or 4-minute scene of her sleeping on that whole, like, table.
Yeah.
And you get to see the fire go out after, like, 3 minutes, and she rolls over. And then you see the soldier guy stand up, take the egg, and break it. But, like, you don't see him visually breaking it. You just see him, like, getting his wooden staff or that stick or whatever and just, like, pounding into something. And that was the whole scene right there. Like, I guess because that was to show how curious he was of what was inside the egg, but we don't know what was inside the egg. We just see that it was a cracked egg. And
Well, they show what's inside of it at the start, and it's like some bird.
Well, they get the only kind of explanation they give is like halfway through the movie when they go inside this area that has like a bunch of these like skeletons of fish, and they kind of talk about like I think like the meaning behind Noah's Ark. And, like, apparently the bird, like, I guess one of the birds that was sent out from Noah never came back. And he's like, well, maybe it was eaten up by the sea or found a better life. We don't know. But that's kind of bullcrap because the bird that Noah sent back came back with a leaf or a twig to show that there was land. So I don't know what version of the Bible that he got that from, because that's not a version I know of where...
Maybe that's why people say this is like renouncing Christianity, because it like changes Noah's Ark or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I don't know what the point of this change is. I guess the bird it flew off and it became an egg.
To anything? Like, okay, are you trying to disbelieve at like Noah's Ark and all that stuff? But like, well, I mean, Oshie, what are you trying to get at?
Like, what's this gonna do? Like, if somebody already believes in Noah's Ark and they see this, are they gonna be like, oh, that scene where they stood around for 5 minutes and talked about Noah's Ark really changed my mind about Noah's Ark, now I don't think it's true or something?
I totally renounce Christianity and my faith because of this movie. My God, Oshii is the best director and forever. Thank you, Mama Oshii.
I don't think that's gonna happen, even though supposedly everybody likes this these days.
I think if you show this to any like Christian person, they're gonna fall asleep 10 minutes in and wake up going, "What did I miss?" And they're gonna be like, "Nothing." Well, they find like because they're inside that building and they're talking about that, and then she walks some more and finds like this giant skeleton of like I guess a bird, or I don't know if it was like an angel or something, but it was like the skeleton of one just like inside of this rock or something, and then there was something about a tree. Or some sort of weird, like, indent of a tree, like, instead of a rock. And the soldier's like, well, I've never seen something like this before. And that's all we get. And
yeah, what was the point of the tree stuff? I don't know.
The only thing else that happens is the fact that, like, the water levels rises. And, like, you could see it, like, kind of sort of flooding the sewer system and, like, the city some more. And then, she apparently sees that the egg's broken and she cries out and shows emotion for once.
Oh, that big long scream.
Yeah. And then she starts she goes to find the soldier guy, and then like she sees him off in the distance, but then little that she knows, she runs right off into a cliff. And then apparently this is when we see that like she apparently, I guess it was her older self or some ghost or something, but I guess it's herself with, like, an older version of herself that's, like, on the opposite side of the water, and they kind of, like, when she touches, it looks like they're kissing. And then, like, it shows a bunch of, then I guess she drowns in the water or something, and, like, you see her ghost self, like, open her mouth or, I don't know if she, like, orgasms or something, and, like, you see just a bunch of eggs just float to the top.
Yeah.
I don't know what the visual interpretation of that scene is or what it's supposed to mean, but I think that's what we both saw, so...
that did happen. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Maybe we should look at this symbolism page. Maybe it would explain the meaning of the eggs.
I guess it couldn't hurt, and then we can kind of be like, well, that's bullcrap, so...
Didn't we read something like this for our Evangelion episode? You found some big image that tries to explain the deeper meaning of it all.
Yeah, I posted on the that was something I got off of Reddit like a year ago.
Oh.
And someone like literally broke down the whole symbolism in Evangelion. It's like something you got to sit there for like 5 hours and just constantly reread it. It makes more sense about every fifth or sixth reread. But then after like doing that for like 30 minutes, I just like stopped reading and I was just like, wait, because you're trying to connect things and you're just like, oh, this is such bull crap. All right, let's go look at this unofficial interpretation regarding the film's thing. And this is a Wayback Machine website or webarchive.org. I don't know when this was put out. Let's see. I like you to find something in here, and then we can... Okay. Just pick something. I don't know.
Okay, let me load it up too.
All right.
What does it say? What year it is? Like at the top.
At the bottom it says this was published in 2008.
Oh, okay. There's a negative review on here too on the.
Oh yeah, the negative review is great.
Yeah, we should read some stuff from that too.
All right. This is just a bunch of breakdowns of stuff. Like, somebody wrote a breakdown of Jacob's Ladder. I think the movie Jacob's Ladder, which I've actually heard is kind of good.
The negative review. I can't load it.
There's an archived link right next to that.
If you hit the link, it should take you straight to the archive.
Yeah, it's loading now, I think.
All right.
This negative review looks old as hell. Like, it's on GeoCities.
Are you looking at the negative review, or are you looking at the symbolism page?
Well, I've loaded both of them up now, but the negative review is on GeoCities, and it's like, I think they did it in the 90s.
Or early 2000s or something.
They call the genre artsy fartsy. watched all, unfortunately, subbed.
Length
80 minutes, though it seems much, much longer.
Hold up. Let's talk about the art negative thing since you're there. So, and this was written by Craig. My brain is melting, Norris.
And MH End of Ava was more artistic than this crap. Touring Jan. I like how the review starts with like 200 periods, just like dot 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 dot, and then
what the hell is this? Like, plot synopsis. There's this girl. She has an egg, and she walks around and drinks lots of water. And there's a guy who wants to find out what's in the egg, so he follows the girl. And there's these fish. Only they're not fish. They're just shadows. And people with masks try to harpoon the shadows, even though they know they can't. I know. It doesn't sound like it passes for a plot, but I had to write something here. And that's all I can think of. Consider what I had to work with.
Yeah, that's the problem with having to review this, is that it's kind of hard to even summarize what happened in it, because nothing really happens.
The guy has screen caps of this, and this looks like an early rip of a VHS tape, clearly.
Yeah, he probably had a fan sub VHS tape, yeah.
The best kind.
I skipped the rest of it down to the bottom. In a nutshell, the pluses, the movie ended. The negatives, not soon enough, and the movie was made, and there's really nothing positive associated with this movie. Rating 0 out of 10.
Out of 10.
Similar titles,
none, thank God.
This guy really hates it.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, he didn't even give it credit for its art or anything like we did.
Well, there is an artwork section. It's like below the plot synopsis. He goes on and on about how all the shots have like an excess of blue paint, like nothing else.
I'm just kind of looking over the overall thing.
He claims that the little girl was included for fan service purposes, but I mean,
that failed too.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, "Chicks, when all else fails, bombard us with fan service and hope." The fragile state of mind brought on by the dehydration from drooling will make us give a good review. Well, all else did fail, and they gave us a prepubescent urchin holding a giant egg. I feel so cheated. I don't know. I think I think that first sentence on here sums up this thing. So it's kind of bad when we have to go to other people's websites to get a better understanding of this. And what that guy said is the utmost truth, so.
Yeah, this should be self-explanatory. We shouldn't be having to look on some site to look up the symbolism and all that.
Oh, do you want to look at the symbolism page? Let's just take a look.
Okay.
They got something on the egg. It says the small egg. The first interpretation is the egg can be seen as a symbolizing the young girl's innocence. It is something which she protects and holds on to, but is ultimately stolen. The other one is another interpretation states that the egg is a spiritual seed planted in a human soul via the gospel of Jesus Christ. a special kind of meme which tries to take root in a person's soul.
What?
What the hell?
How did they get that out of this?
Well, they bring up some Bible verses on this too. Let's see.
They have a long explanation for this second bullet point here.
It scrolls down and it says the egg was brought to life as a result of being wooed by the Christ man. And then that once it fully released, she charged directly after the Christ on the narrow path, which gives us verses Matthew 7:13-14, to spiritual maturity.
When they're calling who they're calling Christ, is it that soldier guy, I guess?
I guess the only other character. It says the metaphor is equivalent to a maturing plant producing heads of grain, but Oshi adapted Yoshia's parable to the production of eggs instead of seeds, possibly in order to merge it with the metaphor of the dove and the ark as expounded below. Was there a dove in this? Because I don't remember.
Well, I think that maybe they're talking about the scene where he's talking about the bird that flew off. Maybe that bird was a dove or something.
Oh, I didn't even notice a bird flew off because I was that bored.
Well, I mean, the Noah's Ark thing, I think.
Yeah.
That bird that he was talking about, I think maybe it was a dove, but I don't think they said that in the movie. They never say dove, as far as I know.
I'm reading through this, and granted, they're bringing in Christian themes, comparing it to this movie, and it's kind of one of those things where, like, they match, but I don't believe it entirely matches. They've got some decent points on this, but I'm not giving this really high merit.
They've got some explanation of the tree also.
They got the fisherman and the fish, which the first interpretation is fishermen and the fish are popular and symbolizing Christian mythology. Let's see. I don't know. I don't feel like reading all this. I'll just post the links and people can
read this. So he's claiming that, like, they have the shadow fish in this movie because people have, like, used fish as a symbol of Christianity, and so...
Well, yeah, I mean...
I guess that makes sense, but...
Yeah.
I don't see what the point of them being shadows is. Like, what does that have to do with religion?
I don't know. Let's see. Oh, well, he says, thus the shadows can be interpreted as shades of once living things, but now dissipating from nature, becoming extinct. Oh my gosh. I'm just going to post the links in our show notes and let people kind of read through this. I mean, if you have to dig this deep to find something, you're that bored. If it's not just thrown out in front of you, because it should be. I mean,
this guy even claims that water is a symbolism in this.
Yeah, let's see.
Because it symbolizes baptism, he says at the bottom of the water section.
I mean, I guess that they take into the fact that when she dove off the cliff, jumped off the cliff into the water, that was her baptism or something. But I don't see how that works because of the effect that happened after. I don't know. I have no will to just sit here and read into this. I'm sorry. But I will post this up on show notes, and people are welcome to read this. I don't know. Maybe I really don't feel like reading all this, but it's going to be on show notes. So let's go to the positive review from Vame Anime Reviews. Let's see what they have to say.
Yeah, what did they like about this is what I wonder.
I like how they gave this 5 stars. That's such bullcrap. Well, they have a comment down here from Carlos Ross saying, a must, not just for fans of animation, but fans of film in general. However, those who think anime is nothing but Dragon Ball Z or Pokemon will either go right over their heads or be a very rude awakening. What? No, Carlos,
people who like shonen can't appreciate the genius fine art of Oshi's Angel's Egg.
Oh my gosh.
That's the kind of person who's going to give this a full rating of 5 stars like that, you know, who's really pretentious.
The thing is about this movie, like, if you're saying this is as a film, I could show this to film nerds at a film festival or school or whatever, and they will just eat this up because they're trying to find so much symbolism and meaning into it. And I'm just going to look at them like, God, you're full of crap. Like, there's nothing in this. I don't see what you think is so special about this. Because this movie is for those kinds of people that, like, want to make everything as special as possible, find meaning into everything, and not everything has this deep meaning to it. It's there to be there and serve a purpose. This did not serve a purpose other than I would say, if you want to know how to do animation really good and take an example, this is the example I would give. Not story, not plot development, not character development, just the visual parts. And that's because that's the only praise I can give Angel's Egg.
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's probably better animation in other anime. Like, I would recommend
Tons.
Akira or something instead, you know?
Yeah, this isn't the only one, but it's just kind of an example, I guess. Unless you're trying to, like, make something artsy that's just like this, then, like, good luck to you on that, so... I don't even... Do you want to read some of this positive review? Because, I don't know.
I guess we could kind of skim through it.
Yeah.
Recommended audience at the end. He says art film buffs would really enjoy this, as would anyone who needs something for the brain to chew on. I don't know really what there is to chew on with this, but the film
dirt
could be analyzed.
And water?
The film could be analyzed forever and a day, and still remain a mystery. Needless to say, little kids or those craving any sort of action would do well to sit through any part of this film. Well, I don't get what he means at the end, because little kids and people who want action aren't going to appreciate this thing.
No little kid's going to sit through this whole thing and think it's the greatest thing ever. They're going to fall asleep. You put this on to fall asleep, too, when you're like an insomniac or something.
Yeah, maybe the orchestral music would relax you to sleep or something. But
yeah, oh my gosh. Anyways, I would like, I guess, to take up the rest of this recording. I mean, we're 35 minutes in or 34, so.
I love how the notes on this positive review say the North American license holder Anchor Bay Entertainment has stated they are unable to release this movie for reasons left unspecified. I think it's quality reasons.
Wait, so they licensed this thing and they just sat on it because it was so bad?
Probably.
They probably didn't know what this was, and then they licensed it and watched it and realized, no one's going to buy this. Holy crap, we made a mistake. I hope to God – I mean, like, Discotech Media could license and put this out because they're gonna do it anyways. I don't know how well it's going to sell, but – I guess the people who want to have a copy of this just to have a copy of it, like, that's not me. I mean, I love anything that they put out, most of it, but this is not one of the things if they decide to do it.
So the artwork, it says, is by Yoshitaka Amano, who did Vampire Hunter D and worked on Final Fantasy. So
yeah,
I guess that's one plus is just the
yeah.
That retro kind of fantasy style that this has.
Yeah, like, he worked on... Like, he's done, like, all the logos for the Final Fantasy games and the character designs and stuff. So, like, when you think of Final Fantasy and the design, that's kind of basically Yoshitaka Amano's name comes up automatically, so... But what I really want to dig into... Let's talk about Mamoru Oshii, because I have some things to say about him. And real quick, there's a link on the side for them anime reviews did a review on Stella Women's Academy, and they gave it 2 out of 5 stars. That's bullcrap.
How many did you give it on our review? I forget.
I talked about how much I loved it.
Yeah, I know. I knew that you liked it, but I guess we don't really do stars anyway, do we? That's right.
Yeah, we just say check it out or don't, so...
Yeah, in this case, I would say don't check this out.
Yeah.
It's only like 1 hour and 10 minutes, but it's kind of boring, a waste of an hour.
According to this, Sentai recently got the license for Stella Women's Academy, so they'll definitely going to have to buy the DVD for this. I don't know. I don't know if I want to read this review, to be honest.
So what was the other... thing that you wanted to say about Oshii?
I guess since we've already brought up Mamoru Oshii. I can talk about some of the works that I've seen by him. And see, watching this movie and how he shot everything is not surprising to me. Because this is a man that loves long camera shots and angles and still shots of environments and all this crap. This is what this man lives for. So, like, when we watch Pat Labor, like, the Pat Labor movies he's done, like, at least those have a story to it, an engaging story, more engaging than this. But, like, he loves to focus on, like, the environment around the world. And, like, he does a really good job of that. And regarding the stuff that I have, I've got, like, the Mamoru Oshii DVD box set, which is, like, his live-action stuff, which was... Oh, let me see. I gotta look.
It's those Panzer things, right?
Yeah, Kerberos or Kurabos, yeah. Panzer Cops, which is based off the manga of...
Did he do the manga too?
No, someone else did the manga, but he basically interpreted it to live action, which did not... Jinro is like the best thing regarding to the Panzer Cop series. And the stuff that he's done is like, he's not one, Mamoru Oshii is not one to focus in on like awesome, cool battles and like shootouts and stuff. Like it was in Jinro. Like he has that in like the movies, but it's like maybe 5 minutes at most. And then like, they're either at the very beginning or the very end. And you're thinking, you're watching this and you're like, awesome, there's going to be more of this. No, there's none of that like the rest of the entire movie. It's whatever he wants to make, which the only people that would get it is him, and everyone else would be completely bored out of their skulls.
Have you seen the Urusei Yatsura movies by him?
He only did like the okay, no, I saw Only You, and I haven't seen Beautiful Dreamer yet, but Only You actually was not that bad.
Yeah, some of them. Well, they've got these weird kind of existential rants that just come out of nowhere, where Oshii will have these characters start babbling for minutes at a time about space and time and all this nonsense. And it's kind of like this, where it's just sort of him spouting out whatever he wants to, and it's not really going to be understood by anybody except him.
Exactly. Oshii's one of the types that, like, he's an artist that makes what he wants, and, like, he's just like, oh, if you don't like it, well, then screw you. I don't care. I made it, and I got paid for it.
I guess
if you don't get it, that's your problem.
At least with Ghost in the Shell, people can, like, understand what's happening, and that's pretty straightforward Oshii work.
Yes, because Ghost in the Shell has a freaking story, and he actually did really good on that. And, like, the Pat Labor movies, it's like he got to the 90s. And realized his way of thinking about how he wants to direct had to change. And it worked out for the better, at least. Like, at least in Ghost in the Shell, there's a lot of deep meaning, but then stuff happens at the same time. So he got to focus in on, like, action more. And then, like, so, like, Ghost in the Shell, like, everyone praises it. And, like, it deserves to be praised. It's a really good movie. But, I mean, I don't know if it was, like, a really, like, it could have been more action in it, maybe. But, like, I thought... For what it is as a film, it's actually really good. And, like, you know, everyone loved it here in the 90s, and I think that holds up today in today's standards. So
yeah, I just saw it recently in that Japanese pop culture class I'm taking at school, and it's still pretty good.
Okay, I guess with animation, like, he does really well, but when it comes to live action, it's just they just fall apart. So, like, the stuff, the collection that I've got, the movies that's in there is The Red Spectacles, let's see, Stray Dog, The Care Bros, Panzer Cops, Talking Head, and I think those are just the three movies. But basically, like, those movies have, like, the 5 minutes of action. You're thinking, holy crap, this is so awesome, just make it like the rest of this. But no. Like, Red Spectacles is basically, it starts out with a shootout in the beginning. And the rest of the movie follows this detective guy, and it's like Oshii tries to do comedy, but it just doesn't go well, I don't think. It's just kind of this guy, like, trying to solve something, and then just weird, stupid stuff happens. And he winds up being like in a closed like films like a stage or like a theater stage or something the whole time, and he's got I don't know, like I guess I don't want to be one to ruin the movie, but like if you're gonna see it, if you watch the beginning, you're gonna be disappointed that that's the cool stuff never is brought up ever again. So just kind of a forewarning there. And then with Stray Dog, there's a shootout scene at the very end. But the rest of it is a guy who is a Caribou's or a Panzer cop, and it's basically like him running away from his unit or something. And he meets up with this old captain, and they basically spend like half the movie shrimp farming and like talking. Yeah. And there's these long shots of like the camera following someone through like alleys and like through like neighborhoods and stuff for like minutes at a time.
Is there long periods where nobody talks and everything?
That's any live action movie that he's done. The no talking and the long drawn out parts, that's like everything he's made live action-y at least. And then, at least in the 90s, his animated stuff had dialogue. I mean, crap, what made Ghost in the Shell was so good was the fact that it actually had dialogue and your brain can't chew on it.
I think
and it's well put together, and that goes with the Palabra movies.
We're going to have to see Dalos before we buy it, because I'm not sure if that's worth spending money on if it's like this.
I think you got a point there. I was going to buy it regardless, but I don't know. I think we can do a review of it like when it comes out, and then we'll be like, all right, you guys need to go see this. You're like, I don't know. Maybe you should hold on to your money.
What's the release date on that? Do we have one?
I think it's 2014 sometime.
Discotech is going to be putting out a lot of stuff in 2014.
Yeah, dude, I'm psyched for those Fatal Fury OVAs. They licensed those.
Yeah, that and the one of the Lupin OVAs, yeah. Or I guess it's TV special, actually, that's got a manga entertainment dub that they're going to try to get.
Yeah, I guess Mazinger is coming out like early next year or something, because I don't see a release date for this end of this year when they said it was coming out in 2013. So who knows? I mean, I haven't seen much of Mazinger. They just said it was 2013, but they haven't put down a release date, and we've got what, a month and a half before the 2014 starts.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The Go Nagai stuff, it's probably mostly going to come out next year, but they did, I think, release. Judy Honey release date.
Okay. They've got some. They got stuff. Some other stuff too. Like they got those Dr. Slump movies. There's just a lot to take in with them. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they've released already that I still need to get, like the Captain Harlock series that they put out.
I like to get the box set for that, and we can review that eventually. So. But crap, I'd like to finish up Fist in the North Star before I tackle Captain Harlock.
Yeah, how many episodes do you and Josh have left on that anyway?
I've got the fourth arc, so I started it, and that was, I think, spring break, so...
Oh, so you haven't seen any in like 6 months or more?
More than 6 months, yeah, so I gotta remember where I stopped off. And I kinda remember where it left off, too, so...
He beat Rao, or not yet?
No, he's already passed. He passed. No, beating Rao was at the very end of the fourth arc, but like this one is like introducing this like new Nanto army or something. And there's these different generals, and there's one with a mask, and that's all I know.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And don't that. If you know who's in the mask, don't tell me.
Okay.
Because I want to be surprised. All right, so the next one, I guess back to Oishi movies, there's one called Talking Head, which was like basically them working at an animation studio, and it's the same theater thing, which nothing makes sense. Like, it has them working on like some sort of like anime movie at the beginning, and then like I can't tell what it was, and then like it just like and then it's just them. It's going through like the director's psyche or something. And even on Wikipedia, it says the film features a short anime segment by famous character designer Haruhiko Mikimoto, which I don't even know what the animated segment was, but it was them like trying to like write down notes or something.
Is there anything that like happens in it, or they just sit around all day writing notes and stuff?
I think they like try to escape. Like it does the same thing like in Red Spectacles, where they try to escape the this break the fourth wall, escape the environment that they're in or something. It's been a few years since I've seen those, and again, I'm very reluctant to going back to it.
Yeah. Once is probably enough for those, huh?
Yeah. There is... Oh, crap. I saw this on Netflix a while ago. It was Avalon, which basically it was his attempt at making a movie about an online FPS game. And
have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Didn't make a whole lot of sense either, but at least stuff happens in this when they're, like, shooting each other. Because it's like some girl that is basically playing... Or she's like the top sniper killer in this MMO game. And there's something about betrayal, and I don't know. But if it's still on Netflix, I guess go watch it. So, I don't know. I think it's already been released. So,
is that the best live action of his?
Yeah, because crap happens, even though it's maybe not that great, but... he's done a few other live action movies since then.
There's something called Skycrawlers that he worked on. Did you see that one?
I have not seen it, but I do have it on DVD, and that's probably one of his animated ones that is really good to watch. I've heard good things about Skycrawlers, so. And then he did another one called Assault Girls, which I have heard about, but I have not seen it, so.
Is that another recent one?
Yeah, it's like 2009, so.
What about the second Ghost in the Shell? Did you like that one?
I did actually like the second Ghost in the Shell movie. I mean, like, it was slower, but I mean, and again, stuff happened, so.
Yeah.
And that is the one that I do own.
It was pretty slow, but the version I have does have the dub on it, but most of the DVDs that you will see of that are just going to be the sub only one.
Yeah, that was the one that was put out by Sony, so.
Yeah,
I think Sony did put it out.
Why the first edition Paramount doesn't have a dub, I don't know. It's just got, like, this poorly done closed captioning.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm looking at the DVD now for Ghost in the Shell 2, and it's got DreamWorks written on it, so it's the widescreen release.
Yeah, DreamWorks doesn't know how to release anime. I guess Sony doesn't either, which is why you probably kind of mixed up. Sony who put out 8 episodes of Cyborg 009 and then stopped.
I think I've got that DVD, actually.
Yeah, so do I.
But I think that's all I want to say about this, about Mamoru Oshii, regarding just what I've seen of his stuff, and I don't know.
I guess he didn't do Jinro himself, or he didn't direct it or whatever, but did you like that one? I haven't seen it yet.
I do like Jinro. But that was directed by somebody else.
Yeah, on Wiki it says it was somebody called Hiroyuki Okiura, but it says that it was written by Oshii.
Okay. Let me see if the guy has writing credits on here, so let's take a look at. Let's see. Yeah, they got Jinro pulled up.
Do you have to have seen, like, all those other Kerberos things to see Jinro?
No, you can walk into Jinro as it is. You don't need to see the other stuff, so...
Because I have heard good things about Jinro in the past, too. And I guess it's a Bandai Visual release, which means
so
it's going to be out of print.
And maybe a bit expensive.
Yeah, those were expensive when they were in print.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Jinro got licensed by Discotech recently, so that is going to be put out.
Oh, man. They've got all of... What other Oshii stuff do they have other than Jinro and Dalos?
I think those are the only two that I know of.
Okay.
I'll be damned if they actually pick up Angel's Egg, so...
What about Ghost in the Shell? Wasn't that a Bandai license?
I think it was licensed by Manga Entertainment at one point back in the 90s, and I think Bandai did pick it up. Let's take a look.
Or Bandai might have the series, is what maybe I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they've got the standalone complex series. I thought Funimation has a series now.
That's what I was wondering, is if anybody has licensed rescued the series.
Let's check out releases. Doesn't look like anybody has Ghost in the Shell right now. I thought like Funimation would have it.
Yeah, they did rescue some of those other former Bandai licenses. Although nobody has licensed rescued Gundam yet still.
I guess there's a reason why they haven't rescued Gundam, because it must be in such a licensing nightmare to get. I mean, even though Sunrise has it, I mean, it's... Because with them, like, you have to go to whoever has the rights, but, like, other people can have the rights to it. It's that whole ordeal with, like, Macross.
Oh, all the Harmony Gold licensing issues, where they can't release Macross Zero and some of the other ones, because...
Not only that, but, like, you got Do You Remember Love, and that's... The other people were, like, suing each other over it in Japan, and... No one really knows who has the rights to it now. It's just a big mess.
So that's not still owned by whoever put out Clash of the Bionoids?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I guess that lapsed a while ago, probably.
Yeah, that I'm sure that lapsed years ago.
That was never on DVD anything, was it?
No, that was never on DVD, as far as I know. I was kind of weird to find The Adventures of a Space Pirate on DVD, but...
Yeah.
I don't know how they got the rights to put that thing out. Probably they didn't. Because, like, I think with DigiView, like, some of the anime, I think some of the stuff they did put out, like, they had, I don't know if they got the rights to it, but.
Well, they would get sued if they didn't, wouldn't they?
Well, they did shut down, so that kind of tells you something. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Mamoroshi or
Not
Angel's
really.
Egg? Because I think I'm spent.
I mean, there's only so much you can say about this anime.
Yeah, we kind of said everything about it forever ago on this recording. So, I mean, I think we'll review the whole thing in like 20 minutes. And all we did was kind of really trash it. And then we talked about how other people praised and like trashed this anime too.
Uh-huh.
And then we just went off on a tangent about Mamoroshi's directing career.
I wonder how many years it was that he had problems getting work after this, because on Wiki it says that he couldn't get work for years afterwards.
Well, it's funny. It depends, I guess, how you measure it up, because like he was able to work on the live action stuff, so maybe he couldn't do anime for a while. Because like the next anime he did was like the Pat Labor movie, as far as I know.
Well, the Pat Labor movie, that's 1989. And this Angel's Egg here is 1986, right?
Angel's Egg was 85, so...
Oh, 85, so he had
a four-year period.
There's something in here, though, in between, called Twilight Q that's an OVA.
Oh, crap, yeah. That's on that YouTube channel we watched the Angel's Egg thing on, so...
It says this Twilight Q thing... It's
I'm kind of dreading it.
It's two episodes. They're about half hour each, and he did the second one. They got licensed by somebody called Network Frontier. It compares it to the Twilight Zone on the story and content, it says. The plot of the Oshi episode is that it follows a detective investigating the mysterious disappearances of airplanes and his investigation into a father and daughter.
That seems pretty straightforward in 30 minutes. Well, when I click on the link for the network, whatever, it takes me straight to Bandai or Network Frontier.
So I guess, does Bandai own Network Frontier? It's like some subsidiary of Bandai.
I guess. Daph sent me an IM about two anime shows. Let me go ahead and post the link. He says, are any of these notable?
Yeah, he sent me that too, but I didn't open it because... It would slow down my computer and crash the recording, probably.
Oh, well, the two tapes is Wanderers and Lodoss War.
Oh.
I don't know. I know nothing about Wanderers, but I'll definitely tell him to pick up Lodoss War.
Is he at Goodwill?
Hold up. Let me ask. Are you at a Goodwill?
I don't really feel
like talking to him after how he acted last night, but...
He came on this morning and was saying, as I've said before, I regret nothing. He says that every day that after he acts like this.
So every time he gets drunk, he comes on there and makes himself as a bigger asshole and be like, I don't regret anything I said last night.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell him to go Lodoss War.
I haven't heard of this Wanderer thing either, though.
Maybe I just say just get both, just so I can dick with him. I don't know. I have no reason to be nice and honest to Daft, to be honest. Well, right next to Wanderers is a something of a Legs of Steel and like Buns of Steel, and that must be a VHS tape. So he's clearly got to be at a Goodwill. And there's even a label that says VHS tapes. So I think that's where he's at. But we'll see what he does. I don't care.
Yeah, I like how they have the exercise tapes right next to. Oh, it is a Goodwill. Look at that sticker, the blue sticker. I think that.
Must be. On the red thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that looks different than the stickers here. Maybe it's some local thrift store.
It's probably a local thrift store. Like the Goodwill that's next to my house doesn't have like those particular blue stickers. They got the ones that like they have like the cut in the middle of them, and they're like basically like ink pressed into like to show the price. So. Well, and they put it like on the most in like the worst places on a VHS tape.
Yeah, I hate those stickers. They're like so hard to get off of everything.
Yeah, you have to be very patient on how you peel them off. So,
yeah,
I haven't really bothered to go to my Goodwill because I keep thinking I'm gonna find anime there every single time, and like I've only found anime there a couple of times.
What did you even get there? Didn't you find some clamp thing that you had to give away at a con?
Yeah, I gave away the 3xHolic DVD at the panel at Banzai Con, and then that, and I gave away like 4 DVDs of Yu-Gi-Oh! That I found those at Goodwill also.
Wasn't this the panel where there was some guy who kept commenting on your page in advance saying, I need a grab bag from you, and he kept insisting about it?
Oh no, that was the con I was supposed to give those out, but I never did because I ran out of time. And the guy demanded I make some sort of like gift box for him, and I'm just like, whatever. That was at NashiCon. No, I don't know if I want to go back to NashiCon, to be honest. BanzaiCon worked out pretty well because I had all this time to do the, I had all the time to basically do like the people can win crap thing, and that's what I handed out to people. So I'd say they did pretty good. You know, we're at an hour, and I've got nothing else to say, so I think we got everything covered.
Okay. Oh, we should mention to our listeners that Toon Radio is finally back. You can listen to our Anime of Yesteryear podcast from episode 1 starting this upcoming Thursday on Thursday nights at, what time is it, 10 Eastern?
Yeah.
He's finally finished airing the Cybernauts a year after Zionic and I left.
Yeah, it was a year ago like today then we had that interview that went to hell,
and it also airs Friday mornings at 10 a.m so check out both of the air times, and you can hear our early episodes.
I think by the time this episode comes out, it would Toon Radio would already have been aired, but they can catch it the next week.
Oh, when this airs on Toon Radio, it's going to be like 2014 or 2015, probably.
Probably is an understatement, I would say.
Or later. I mean, it's this year it was only up how many months?
Like 5.5.
Yeah, it wasn't even half the year that it was up. That was kind of sad, but I guess that's what happens when Mason... couldn't even afford electricity for a few months of this year.
I guess he survived somehow.
Didn't he have to sleep at the library or something?
Yeah, that did happen at one point. Yeah.
I wonder where at a library you can find a good spot to sleep and not get found out or caught.
Did you see that, speaking of homeless people, that Love That Goku was able to get a new home at Dale's? He has moved in with his sister and Dale. Not Motivation Dale, but his sister Dale's. His sister's husband Dale, and he keeps watching DBZ with him and stuff. But he doesn't. At least he doesn't live in a Toyota Camry anymore.
Well, how long? I don't know how long he was in the Toyota Camry because he said like, what was it? He got kicked out of the wedding and that he was trying to crash in Uncle Francis's wedding. And he was, like, banished to the Toyota Camry.
Yeah, it was only a couple days, actually. But I guess for my closing remark, I'm going to quote one of his tweets. his sister's son is named Dallas. He says, "My sister tells me the baby's name is Dallas. I said I refuse. I will not allow my nephew to be Dallas. I told my sister we shall call the child Small Christian. She said stay away from the baby."
Well, my closing remark, I'm gonna read over the overall for the negative review. I've read other reviews about this film, and much to my chagrin, it has received high marks across the board. I believe that is because no one understands it, and instead of feeling stupid by admitting it, they merely make some excuse about there being so many different interpretations that it can't not be good. Well, I will not continue this misguided trend. I will make a stand right here and now and admit to the world that I do not understand this movie in the least. And if anyone says that they do, I will immediately call him or her a filthy liar. This film should never have been released to the public. In fact, everyone who was involved in the making of this anime should be forcibly detained and made to watch the entire Cowboy Bebop series 10 times through to show them what an anime really should be. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm off to the kitchen. I suddenly crave an omelet.
And my closing remark would be that Daft is trying to help me decide getting him jackets at a Goodwill. I basically posted that. I posted the comment in the chat, in our Skype chat. I don't know why he thinks. Let me just read out what he told me. I was like, "Are you at a Goodwill? Get Lotus War." He goes, "Yes, I am." "Why, is it good?" "Yeah." And I said, "Yes." And I also said, "Why would I tell you to get something that's bad?"
Is it to troll him?
And then he says, "Is it on DVD? I said, "It was." And he goes, "I'd only pick it up if I could sell it. Otherwise, I'd torrent."
Yeah.
And I basically responded, I told him, "Don't be an ass and pick it up on VHS. And then he goes, "Which one of these suit jackets should I get? It's also $13, so money."
Yeah. Daft is like from some filthy rich New England family, for anybody who's wondering. And yet he pirates everything. And he harasses anybody who buys anything on DVD or watches anything on TV. And he's like super elitist about how he's a pirate and gives anyone who's not constant grief about it.
Then he rides my case when I basically walked out of that crappy pawn shop in my town with that Resident Evil 3 copy that didn't work on my PlayStation. And he's like, "Man, you're just costing like those mom and pop stores money." It's like, you freaking torrent everything. Don't you dare call me a thief. I was like, it's not my fault that like they wanted to charge $10 on a game that didn't work, and like they didn't even bother to check the CD case that I put the game inside of it, because they just don't care. I'm not gonna help him with his shopping thing about what suit jacket he should get.
Yeah, why should he ask,
shove it up his ass?
He asks us for fashion advice anyway.
Yeah, he comes on Friday nights drunk, and then he's just like, "You guys all suck. Oh, I'm so much better. Go out to bars and go meet people. I hate you all." Then he's like, you guys need to help me buy stuff.
Tell him to get a trench coat and a fedora if he wants fashion advice that badly.
Yeah.
He just said, "I have a bright yellow suit jacket. It blinds my eyes. It's amazing." My God. Get a fedora and a trench coat. While you're there.
At least then everybody would be able to tell he's a hipster and just avoid him, you know? It'd be a public service.
Gosh. Yeah, I like how you basically said no offense to you, Josh, but me and John have no desire to go in the New England states as of this point. Because when if we run into people like Daft, we don't stand a chance, and I will kill somebody there because they have it coming. Maybe seriously injuring them is what I should say.
Okay, I guess we can end this, huh?
Yeah, because this conversation with Daft is only going to get worse from here, so go ahead and end this.
Change for my phone bill, I'm hitting up the Goodwill. One jacket, two shirts for $3, it's fucking chill. Fake fur for me, a 70s purse for you. These items you cannot find if you're only buying new. I'm putting us in used, I'm talking Louis boat shoes. They only cost $1.50, so how can I lose? Some fur dice for my car, Jimi Hendrix guitar. 32 shot blasts, now my house is a bar. I take shopping too far, I make it rain in that bitch. Even a jobless broke bitch and Goodwill will feel rich. A boogie board, a snowboard, an Xbox, no cord. I never check the price tag, cause everything I can't afford. I bought a beer pong table, a record without a label, plus I spent all weekend fixing a broke foosball table. Some pinstripe pants, I do my new shoes dance. Then I put up one leg in the Captain Morgan stance. I'm looking so hot that the squirrel's about to melt. I'm thrusting my hips to show off my belt. Found a cape, a cane, an eye patch, I look insane. I'm unique on the street in your white tee, you're looking plain. If I spy it, then I buy it, take it home and I tie dye it. I explain it to my friends and now my friends all want to try it. A baseball bat, home run, I bought you a fedora hat. Now I'm Frank Sinatra, cause I stroll so smooth sliding through the store. Man, the way you shop, it looks like a chore.